Amen. Well, I had a theme this morning, and this actually I got this message before the men's retreat. And the theme of this morning, it's interesting, I had a person who is here sometimes and not, but they had asked me if I had any messages on the love of God. And I did have some messages, but for whatever reason, they're not in the archives, okay? And I don't know where they are. I had the written messages, but I didn't have the spoken messages. So I began to pray about that. And before we go on to another subject, which I'm very stirred about right now, I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to exhort us along the lines of God's love. And the theme of this morning is, let God love you. Let God love you. Because whenever the love of God is talked about, most of the time, it's talked about on how it's supposed to go to other people. Okay? Most of the time, God so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son. But I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to exhort us this morning along that line. I know that's the title of the message, but I almost felt like the Holy Spirit, that was almost a word from God. The Holy Spirit was saying to us, let God love you. Okay? Praise the Lord. And you're going to find out in a minute why that has to be. Praise the Lord. So let's start out in 1 Corinthians 13. And I think this is short, but I think it's profound, okay? The first three verses we want to read from you from the King James, and then the next ones we want to go to the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, that word, the Greek word is love, God's love, and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Or have not love, I am nothing. Okay? Now, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Now let's stop there for a minute, because the thing about God's love is it doesn't matter whether you want to be used in the gifts of the Spirit. It doesn't matter whether you have a particular burden for the poor. It doesn't matter whether you have a burden to preach the Word. It doesn't matter. These three verses show us that if anything is done outside of the love of God, it doesn't work. It simply doesn't work. Amen. We had a lot of discussions about the grace of God down at the men's retreat, and we were talking about the grace of God, and really, love precedes the grace of God even. Because if there was no God so loved the world, He wouldn't have sent Jesus, and if He hadn't sent Jesus, the basis of all grace, grace wouldn't exist. Have you thought about that? Love even precedes grace, as far as its importance in the economy of God. And Paul was just pointing out, you know, the context of these three verses is the gifts of the Spirit were functioning in the Corinthian church and functioning way out of order, okay, was what was going on. And Paul said, one of the things that's out of order is some of you are standing up trying to speak in tongues and prophesy and do all this stuff, and there's no love going in your midst. And he said, if I do all these things and operate all these supernatural gifts and don't have love, I am nothing, a tinkling brass and a sounding cymbal. Praise the Lord. You know what that's referring to? Is I'm a voice with no substance. I'm words with no meaning, okay, and no substance. Amen. So the first thing you need to know about God's love, if you're going to let God love you, is this is the basis of the entire gospel of grace. Okay, without God's love, you run around your life and you say, well, why are you talking? Oh, I know this, I know this, I know. No, no, we don't. Love is something that you need to be continually brought back through and see that come up in your life again, because things happen that try and make you grow cold. Is that not true? Things happen, you get hurt, to try and make you grow cold in the love of God. So nothing works outside the love of God. Praise the Lord. Now, the next thing, let's read the next set of verses in the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Now, I read the Amplified because the Amplified really, really speaks volumes more than the King James. Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. Love is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride, It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or in its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. Now, that's a rough one, isn't it? But the presence of God's love takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without failing. Love never fails, nor fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. Praise the Lord. Love never fails. Now, folks, in the beginning, when I was taught about God's love, I read these chapters in Corinthians, and I looked at that and I thought, Lord, on my best day, that's not me. You know, I'm not that kind of person. I don't have all those attributes. I have a tendency, like everyone, to get offended when someone says something mean. I have a tendency to respond sometimes in an unkind manner. You know, and what Mike's testimony about this morning was, when he walked through that door after a large mistake in his life, the thing that made him not walk back out the door and jump in the car and go to Huntington was he felt the love of God. And he felt the love of God from me because I had felt the love of God when I had made mistakes. And I had realized that how much God loves me. One of the beauties of God's love is the realization that you can be a foul ball and it doesn't affect his love for you. That is so good. You don't have to be this standard of perfection in order to walk in this love. What a great thing, because if we had to be that, if it came because of our righteousness or any of those things, then we'd all have to get up and walk out, me probably the first one out the door, okay? Because we're just not perfect, okay, as far as our responses are concerned. So when I first read these, it was just like, and this is something you got to get on the love of God, okay? I saw those character qualities as a set of rules that I had to attain to. Now, you mean in addition to believing God, I've got to be kind and generous and not, you know, not talk harshly and never respond out of the Spirit? And it was just like, I closed my Bible and I said, well, you know, count me out. I'll never do that, you know? That's how that list responded to me, okay, or how it affected me. And then, of course, I'm going to teach you some of these things today and so forth, especially when the Holy Ghost is saying to us through that prophetic word, are you ready? And believe me, when I say, are you ready, I'm not pointing at you, okay? I'm thinking of, are we ready, okay? Am I ready as a pastor? Are we ready as a body to do what? To love the unlovely that God brings into our lives, whether through that door or outside, and we're supposed to bring them, to love the unlovely. Well, that's good news, and for some people, they consider that, the old song, to dream the impossible dream. But the truth of the matter is, God was smart enough to know that we're not going to make those responses, okay, in our natural man. So he made a resource. Now, here's the thing I want to talk about. 1 John, let's go back up to that verse on the Amplified. Go back up to 4:7. And I will read you out of my paper Bible here. 1 John 4:8 says this, and you stay there if you would please on that. For beloved, let us, this is 1 John 4:8 and starting in 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now, this is really important, okay? God doesn't show us love, okay? God is love, okay? It's who he is. And that grammar structure there is the predicate adjective. It means love is not something that God acts like. Love is something he is, Now, that's really good news. It's part of his character, okay? It's the essence of his being. Now, that said, when you know that God is love, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 7 in the Amplified, if we can, please. And what I want to do is, when you understand that God is love, this is what set me free. I want to go back through these verses, and every place you see love, I want to put in the word God, because God is love, okay? And we go back and we start in 4 and we say, God endures long and is patient and kind. God is never envious nor boils over with jealousy. He is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display himself haughtily, is not conceited. You don't have to be conceited when you can do anything in the universe just by speaking. You know, it's like, you know, is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. God, and it says love in the Amplified, God does not insist on his own rights or his own way, for he is not self-seeking. He takes no account of the evil done. I mean, if he'd have taken account of the evil done when the world crucified Jesus, he would have just decimated us. If he was going to take an account of the evil that was done. But he does not take count of the evil. For it is not, he is not self-seeking. He is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Isn't that good news? You know. He takes no account of the evil done to him. He pays no attention to a suffered wrong. He does not rejoice at injustice and in righteousness, but he rejoices in right and truth. He bears up under anything and everything that comes. He's never caught off guard. If we mess up, he just goes to plan B and keeps going, because he'll get to where he wants to go whenever he wants to. He bears up under anything and everything that comes. He is ever ready to believe the best of all of us. Thank goodness. That's why he sent Jesus. His hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and he endures everything without weakening. Wow. What a set of character qualities. One more verse. God never fails. Never fades out, becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. Praise the Lord. So the first thing you need to realize is love is not a set of character qualities that you've got to live your life by. Love is who he is. Okay? Love is who he is. Now that encourages me, because some of those responses that are listed in this is like, on my best day, I couldn't do all of those responses, okay? But with him being that's who he is, I want you to notice this morning the very special provision that God has made for this particular set of responses. And remember, the thought for this morning was, let God love you. Now let's turn to Romans 5:5. And let's look at a very instrumental verse if you're ever going to understand the love of God in any kind of real way. I think these particular thoughts would start to help us become ready, part of getting ready for loving the unlovely. Romans 5:5 says this. Well, 4 says, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope, 5:5, maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now, one of the things I'd like to call your attention to is the Greek word that's translated shed abroad means poured out. But there's really a cool thing. I always pick up and take note when the Greek is in a perfect tense, because I know that you can't translate the perfect tense in English, no matter how many words you use. And in this verse, shed abroad is in the perfect tense. So the meaning of the verse comes, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God has been poured out and is being poured out. See, the perfect tense brings it into something that occurred in the past, but the results continue into the present. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God, see, here's the love of God has been poured out and is being poured out by the Holy Ghost in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. See, the truth of the matter is, and this is why you can walk in love. The truth of the matter is, God is inside of you if you're born again. Is this true? The Holy Ghost is inside of you if you're born again. And according to this verse, when you were born again, the love of God was poured out okay, by the Spirit into your heart. And according to this verse, because it's in the perfect tense, it was poured out when you were born again, and it is being poured out. It's continuous. So the love of God is not a past tense thing. Whether you're aware of it or not, there's a fresh supply of that love available to you today, right now. That's how it works. And when you are confronted with bad situations in your life, you can choose to draw on that love, or you can choose to allow your flesh to have the dominance and to make a bad response. So all of a sudden, when I realized this, I thought, well, love suffers long, love envies not, love does all these things, love doesn't fret over a taken wrong. And instead of thinking about that as some sort of character criteria that I've got to live up to, I began to realize that's who lives in me. That's who's inside of me. Praise the Lord. And it's there by the Spirit of God. Now, the thing that I want to call your attention to this morning is because that shed abroad is the perfect tense, it's not just has been poured out, but it is being poured. There's a fresh supply. It comes up every day. He comes up every day. That makes it a whole lot different, doesn't it? You know, somebody comes up and says, and you go, oh, you be just. And you said what? You know, you can make better responses by just knowing that He is there. He is in those character qualities inside of you, and you can choose to let Him out rather than your emotions or rather than your offenses. That's huge, don't you think? You know, I don't have to go get love. Love is already in me. Love is already showing forth. He is in me by the Spirit. It has been poured out in my heart by the Spirit, and it is being poured out. And so you can get up tomorrow morning and, you know, you can say, Lord, I thank you for a new supply. Do y'all think we need a good supply of God's love every day to walk through life? You don't know what you're going to run into at work or anything else in your life. You can get up tomorrow morning and say, Father, I thank you today that that love is in me and that you're giving me a fresh supply today, Lord, for that to come out of my heart by the Holy Ghost and come out into my body and into my life. Oh, love isn't something I have to go do. Love is something who is somebody who's already in me. All I have to do is let him out of me in my life to give those character responses that those verses. Is that good news or what? God says, love does all these things. He says, oh, by the way, that's who I am, and I'm in you, and it's been poured out in your heart when you were born again, and I'm still pouring it out every day if you want it. And so you get up tomorrow morning when you understand this, I take a fresh supply of love to walk through life this day, Lord. This is how you access that. So love isn't these impossible character responses. Love is a person. And you choose to let that person out. So I don't get up to tomorrow morning and pray and say, now let me see, well, how do I have to act today, Lord? Yeah, I can't suffer wrong. I can't, you know, get mad at anybody. I can't, who could live like that? Nobody can. Is that true? Nobody can live like that, can you? But you get up tomorrow and say, thank God love is in me. It was poured out in me. He's in me. And Lord, I could use a good supply today. Amen. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I think that's very good news. So stir us up to the love of God. Amen. Now let's talk about some things of showing God's love. Because anytime you talk about this, John 15, everybody goes through, oh man, we got to love everybody and we got to love them. And you know, it's not like that. Okay, it's shown by the Spirit. Now, John 15:8. John 15:8. You remember what we've been talking about all this? John 15:15, 14:15, 16:17 is Jesus getting ready to go to the cross. Amen. And this is in John 15. This is behind his vine and the branches, encouragement to us. And then he makes this statement about the vine and the branches. And that's a precious statement. And he throws in this whole thing of without me, you can do nothing in this story. And so it says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. So the first thing, we're taught this in Sunday school as kids. You know, you're supposed to bear fruit, church. And everybody sits there and says, how exactly do I do that? You know? But we know about bearing fruit, okay? And the reason I'm sharing this with you is because the way the love of God was presented to me when I was growing up in the church was, you're supposed to love everybody. That it was all about God so loved the world that he gave his own, you know, God wants to love the world through you. God wants to do all this stuff. God wants you to give love. And I thought, you know, how do you do that exactly? You know, so all of my training as a kid in the love of God was about God wants to love everybody else. And one day I looked up to heaven and I said, Lord, what about me? Where am I in this deal? I mean, you're asking me to make all these amazing responses to everybody else, and I know you love people, but what about me, Lord? You know, I really did. I actually got very frustrated with this whole thing, and I cried out to God. I said, what about me? You know? And God began to teach me this thing. You know, one of the things that Justin was saying yesterday at the men's retreat is God has been calling his attention to the fact that there's order in the Word of God. And when the Word of God shows certain things before other things, you want to pay attention to the order of the Word. Because if you try and do step 10 and you don't have step 1 through 9, step 10's not going to work. Amen? And love is one, love and grace are on the bottom rung of the ladder. You don't have that. You know, Paul said you can have the gifts of the Spirit, you can do supernatural stuff, doesn't make any difference, okay? And that's what touched Mike when he walked through the door. And, of course, I only was able to give that because God gave it to me when I had made a mistake, okay? Praise the Lord, I have a heightened awareness of the fact that anybody that wants to pick up a stone and cast it at other people is a challenged believer. In their thinking, okay? They're a challenged believer. I was going to say something else. Thankfully, the Holy Ghost gave me better words. Amen. But you get up and you want to throw a stone at somebody who's made a mistake, you don't know what you're talking about, okay? Because when you start throwing stones, you know, there's this little verse stuck in the back of the Gospels, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And you don't want to throw stones. Amen. I learned that the hard way. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's a good exhortation, isn't it? When you have the urge to pick up a stone and throw it at somebody, you just tell yourself, sit down, shut up, and get some, you know, receive the love he has for you and leave the stones alone. Praise the Lord. Because that you just can't live in that lifestyle. Nobody wants to see that anyway. Wouldn't you agree? Okay, so this is 15:8. My Father, glorify that you bear much fruit. Now look at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Stay in my love. Folks, I want you to think about this verse right here. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Stay in my love. Which is first, loving others or loving us? What is first in the verse? And the revelation of this verse is even Jesus, our champion, our Savior, our elder brother, even Jesus did not love us out of his own love. That's what the verse says. Even Jesus did not love us out of his own love. It says, as the Father, Jesus is speaking, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, stay in my love. And the reason this is so freeing is when I saw this, I thought, then God isn't asking me to show this love to others from me. Okay? I realized that. And I thought, if Jesus, my champion, can't live this life apart from the Father, okay, apart from the Father's love, I thought, who am I? Who am I? I can't. If Jesus didn't do it, how could I possibly do it? Amen? So he brought this point out in John 15. All that Jesus did for us, going to the cross, the things that he did for us and sacrificed for us, all of those things that he did, this verse shows that he did not do that out of his own love. He did those things for us out of the Father's love given to him. And he said, as the Father has loved me, and that's the heart of love, as the Father has loved me, now I can love you. See, I can love you. Don't tell me to go up and love my wife as Christ loved the church and give me no resource. My wife's lovable. But you can't make perfect responses to each other. But if she's not making a perfect response, or if I'm not, and I know this love is here, and I know that I'm supposed to live out of the flow of the Father's love to me to make these responses, I can say, God, you know, I'm a little bit frustrated right now, but I know that's the wrong response. Give me the right response here. And that love comes out of you, and you make the right response. You just hesitate for a moment, and you make the right response. Isn't that an amazing verse? As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Stay in my love. Let's read. Let's see if there's a couple more here. Amen. Yeah, let's read. Let's go down to verse 12. Verse 10. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean go there with the machine. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you'll stay in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and stay in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Praise God. This is my commandment. Now look at the commandment and understand what God has really said to us. This is my commandment, that you love one another. And if you ask people, the normal Joe and Josephine believer, if you ask them what is God's commandment, this is the answer you get most of the time. God's commandment is that I love my brother. And that is not what that verse says. Read it and read it carefully. God's commandment, Jesus' commandment, is this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. That is the commandment. There is no command to love each other without his love to you. The system breaks down. Have you ever tried to love somebody that isn't lovely? Am I the only one that's ever tried that? How far do you get? About 2 inches. But when you realize that the commandment was not love each other, it was love each other as Jesus has loved you. And see, then that's your resource. Now, if Jesus has loved me, then I can let that love come out of me to other people, can't I? See, you've got to understand the dynamics. And there's an order to this. God's love to others without his love to you is an empty equation. There's no resource for it. Okay? Praise the Lord. That's good news, isn't it? So now I've got a commandment to love one another as I have loved you. Now that I can do, because if God is saying he wants me to love you as he has loved me, now that's totally doable, isn't it? That's totally accomplishable. Amen. Because now I know that this says this, and I don't have this impossible commandment. I have a resource. He's loving me, and I have a resource then to love you, don't I? Praise the Lord. Isn't that good news? Praise the Lord. God's heart. Amen. Now, let's cover one final verse here. There's not a lot here, but I think this principle about let God love you. Let's turn to 1 John 4. And let's turn to 1 John 4. And I want to read verse 17. I'm rather 16 in the Amplified. And then we're going to read verse 17 through 21 in the KJV. 1 John 4. Okay? And do we have, we've got 416 in the KJV, or is that, bring that up if you would please in the 16 in the Amplified if we could. Okay, this is 1 John 4:16 in the Amplified. Thank you. Now, and I put this up here because of some of the Greek words beside that. And instead of giving you all the details, I find translations that express some of the things in the Greek. And we know, now look at 4:16 in the Amplified. And we know, we understand, are conscious of, by observation and experience, and believe, adhere to, and put faith in, and rely on the love that God cherishes for us. Okay, now here's what I want to do. I just want to talk about this verse for a little bit. The word know is 1097, and it's an interesting word because if you consult several different translations, the King James Version translates the Greek word that's translated know in some places. Feel is one of the KJV translations. It carries the meaning of, and this is a big one here, observation, experience is one of the big meanings of that Greek word that's translated know. So what the verse is saying is y'all get that? We know. Now when it says we know, It says we understand, we recognize, we're conscious of, by observation and experience. So the verse is saying we have known, which means we have felt, we have experienced, we have observed, we have, you know, even tasted the love that he has for us. And, you know, I reached a point in my life trying to serve the Lord. I reached a point in my life where I read this verse and the Holy Spirit showed me this verse. And when he showed me this verse, I looked back up to heaven and I said, Lord, I don't know, feel, or experience the love you have for me. Okay, I don't know that. And he began to show me this particular thing. Now, this is the point. Now, you know, I'm going to share the, you know, Mike, I'm going to share a story with you that I don't know, I don't think I've ever put this on tape, but this is so real to me. This is how this stuff gets real in your life. This verse says we feel, experience, and know the love or recognize the love he has to me. Now, I want to stop there and give you a story, okay? When I was first coming up as a kid, you know, as time was going by, we lived close. That's how I got to know Mike and his family. We lived in Huntington, Indiana for reasons a long time ago. But we the Spirit was moving, and there's this town south of Huntington called Marion. And in Marion, Indiana, there was a group of people at that time. They were pastors, and I was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and I guarantee you I didn't know a heck of a lot, okay? I knew a little bit about healing, a little bit about faith, and a little bit about the cross, and that's about it, okay? And I was lucky I didn't make more trouble than I made help, you know? But notwithstanding, you know, everybody could see, you know, well, we'll put up with Henry because he's excited, even though he's, you know, he's like a bull in a china shop at times. But anyway, so I don't even know how I got in, but I happened to be invited to this pastor's meeting. And I thought, I don't know why they're inviting me, but they're inviting me, so I'll go, you know? So we get in this pastor's meeting, and, you know, and the pastor's meeting was full of, there was an Assemblies pastor, there was a Methodist minister, there was two Episcopal priests, and there was, I don't remember if there was more than that. But anyway, they came in, and in this particular pastor's meeting, I'm just sitting there, you know, and just, you know, kind of, you know, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm just here, you know. And so they started out in the Assemblies pastor. These are all good men, okay? These are not bad men. I'm not, don't take that from the story. But the Assemblies pastor starts out, and he says to the rest of the pastor, he said, man, I got a real problem. This was back in the days of the Jesus movement, maybe before some of your time. But he said, there's like 40 of these kids that have gotten saved, you know. And he said, and they've come into my church. And he said, they're a mess, you know. He said, the girls are wearing hip huggers, jeans, and halters, tops, and their stomachs are hanging out. And he said, you know, they don't know how to act, and they're rowdy in the church service, you know. And he said, and the guys and the girls are hanging all over each other in the pews during the church service, you know. And he said, my elder board is about ready to kill me. He said, I don't know what to do with these people, you know. And so he was telling the other pastors, he said, you know, what do you think I should do? He was asking for help, you know? And I'm sitting there going, huh, isn't that interesting? You know, so the next guy, and then the Episcopal guy raises, Episcopal priest raises his hand, and he said, yeah, man, they've been to my church too. You know, and he said, they came into my church and dressed the same way, and they smell, and they haven't taken a bath in a while, and, you know, and he said, and they get near all these fine, respectable people, you know, that come to my church, you know, and he said, man, they stink, and they don't dress properly, and they look weird, and, you know, and he said, you know what, he said, I don't have any answers for you, but my rectory board, that's who runs an Episcopal church, apparently, he said, my rectory board is about ready to kill me, he said, I don't know what to do with them, you know, and so then the Methodist guy raises his hand and tells the same story. These kids come in, you know, and it's just like they, you know, they just turning everything upside down. So I'm sitting there looking at this, you know, and I'm listening to all this, and I'm saying to myself, well, these kids are just looking for love. I mean, it's not a hard thing, you know, and you're trying to get them to be perfect before you're ready to love them. you know, and change them before they're ready to love them. And as I and as they went around the circle, the kids had made the circle to every major church in that town that was represented at that meeting. And I was just sitting there, and I started to cry, and I felt the compassion of God come up inside of me. And they got done talking about, well, we still got this problem. They're all doing the same thing to all the churches. And I looked down the thing like this, and I looked the other way like this. And I was a new kid in the block. Yeah, I didn't know anything. I raised my hand. I didn't know if you had to raise your hand to speak or if you just talked, spoke out. I didn't know. But I raised my hand, and they looked at me and said, yeah, Henry, what? You know, because they knew I didn't have a church, you know, a formal church. They looked at me and said, yeah, what? And tears are running down my eyes. And I said, I'll take them. You don't want them? I'll take them. Give them to me. I want them. I want every one of them. That's exactly what I said. I want every one of them. Give me every one of them. He said, the whole lock, stock, and barrel. I said, absolutely. And the Episcopal priest said, if you'll take them all, he said, I'll give you the rectory in the church, you know, and let you meet on Friday nights. I'll give you a place to meet if you'll take them all and get them out of our services, you know. Well, at that particular point in time, I thought, and I was just in tears. I said, oh, yeah, give them to me. Let's go. So they come in on Friday nights and looking just like always, and the gifts of the Spirit start to flow, and the signs and wonders start to flow, and God starts to work miracles for these kids and starts to deliver them from addictions and all this kind of stuff. And one, I'll never forget this miracle, but the thing where people pray for legs, we've done it here once or twice, and legs grow out. This young couple walked down with a baby. I'll never forget this. This was one of the first, you know, one of the first serious miracles, that, I mean obvious miracles that I saw. And then this young couple brought their baby down in their arms, and the baby's foot was turned. It was clubbed. And I grabbed the baby's foot, and I just prayed. That's all I knew to do, you know. I told you I didn't know much. You know, you don't have to know much to get this going, especially when you're moving in love. And I grabbed the baby's legs, and I said, well, I'll pray for the baby's legs to grow out. That's all I knew. It's the only way I knew God did anything. So I prayed. I grabbed the baby's legs, and I watched, and that club foot right in front of my eyes turned straight up in front of me. And that young couple just broke down, and the kids saw it. They weren't sitting in the chairs. They were all gathered around while this was going on. And the kids saw it, and they started running around the rectory, okay, going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. They went nuts. None of them had ever seen that kind of thing. And they're just going, Jesus, and throwing their arms up in the air, Jesus. Well, of course, that word got back to the rectory, and we got the right foot of fellowship at that particular point in time, and out we went. And as we went bouncing down the synagogue stairs, you know, boom, 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 who's at the bottom of the chairs but Jesus, you know. And somebody said, I got a house. We can meet over here. So the kids, you know, we all went over to the house, and we started meeting in houses. And folks, those meetings went on for a year and a half, and it was the most fun, the best time. It still is like yesterday in my mind. And we went into these houses, and there were people on drugs and addictions, and I would go in, and we'd have prayer meeting, and I'd say something in the Word, and we'd start praying for people. God was setting people free. One night, I held people's head over a toilet while they puked all night because they were being delivered of addictions. It was the time of my life. Yeah, and God was having fun. Now, I submit to you that probably most of you in this room could do the same thing. Most of you in this room could do the same thing. Do we have the heart? Of course we do. God's heart is in us. Are we willing to let it out is the question. I think of that song, It's the Time of My Life. I can't sing, but I would sing it, you know. It was a time of my life, and I would go home exhausted, and, you know, people throwing up in the toilet, and you say, you're going to put that on a CD? Well, that's what happened. I mean, that was real life. They were getting delivered of things, okay? And, oh, by the way, the good story is it finally occurred to the girls to maybe start dressing modestly, you know? And it's like, so what? Until they figure that out, what difference does it make, you know? Glory to God. Now, when it says we have known, believed, recognized, understood, felt, and experienced the love he has for me, folks, there isn't anyone in this room that couldn't do the exact same thing that I did, because that same love that welled up inside of me is inside of you. All we have to do is decide to let it out, that we're going to let it out. And this is how you prepare for the people that may not be so lovely to walk through the door. I would be, you know, if I said something to you out of the spirit, that would grieve my heart. I would never want to do that. But what would grieve me equally as much is if somebody walked in like that and they walked out because they didn't feel love from us, that would be grievous. That would be grievous because they didn't dress like we did, or they didn't wear the same kind of stuff as we did. Praise the Lord. Oh, that was so good. It's like I relive that every time I tell that story, and I don't tell that story that often, but it's like I feel what I felt. And that same love is still inside me, still inside you. All we have to do is choose to let it out. Just choose to let it out. Praise the Lord. But you realize, now these are the two key elements that make that happen. We have known, believed, felt, and experienced the love he has to us. Okay, now let's go back and you know, look at the King James, okay? The love he has to us. Let's go back and look at the King James. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. Now look at that second word in the verse in 1 John 4:16. We have known and believed the love he has to us. Not just we have felt and experienced and had all these feelings of God's love, okay? But we have had those experiences and we have believed the love that God has to us. Folks, the fundamental thing that keeps the love of God flowing is not the feeling. The fundamental thing that keeps the love of God flowing is the believing that that love is inside of you and will come out of you as you believe that and draw on that. That's how it works. Is that good news? So the love of God, and people get confused about this because they have these feelings like they have an experience like I just shared with you, and they feel that love for other people, and then they walk around for 3 weeks and say, I wonder why I don't feel that anymore. You know, I wonder why I don't feel that again. Well, because you can feel it at the leading of the Spirit, and then you have to believe it. What do you have to believe? You have to believe that as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. You have to believe that as Jesus loves me, I'm going to love you. That's what gets the flow going. It's a belief issue as well as a love issue. Praise the Lord. That's big, isn't it? Known and believe the love he has for us. And then let's go on and continue to read. Okay? God is love, or did we miss that already? God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Now, here's the next thing. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. See, that word perfect doesn't mean flawless. It means complete. And how you complete the love of God is right here. This is how love is made complete, that we have boldness. As he is, so are we in this world. It's very simple. It's like all I did was say, God, I'll take your heart for these kids. I'll take your heart for these kids. And God's heart showed forth. That's all there is. I mean, it's no harder than that. And the thing that we've got, there's a completeness aspect to God's love. God's love is so big is that you perceive it and feel it for yourself. And then he says, you've got to make this complete. Here's how you complete this great love. And the love is this: we have made, because as he is, so are we in this world. Lord, I'm willing to take your heart for those around me. I'm willing to take your heart for those that you want me to take your heart for. I'm willing to do this because that's what you want. Verse 18, what Mike exhorted us to this morning, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. When you allow that love to be completed in you, okay, that drives out the fear factor. And I've done a lot of stuff in the past that you should have been afraid, but I wasn't, okay, because I had chosen that love. Because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Now, verse 19, we love him because why? He first loved us. Let's keep going. If a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we of him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. So love is like, I used to call this the love cycle when I first preached it. And what I mean by a cycle is something that goes around and around and around and continues to happen. The cycle starts with we have known and believe the love he has to us. We believe that love. We allow that. We know that it's in us because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. We know that. We, as he is, so are we in this world. We say, okay, God, I know your love is in me. I will take your love and I will show it to those that are appointed through my life, okay? And then you make that choice, and then the love starts to show forth. And then it shows forth to those around you. And then as it shows forth to those around you, there's a refreshing inside of you. Okay, you get up tomorrow morning and say, Father, thank you, showed love yesterday. I receive the love you have for me today. For me. See, it doesn't start out with, Lord, I take your heart for, you know, this person, and I take your heart for Africa, and I take your heart for this, and I take your heart. It doesn't work that way. That thinking will kill you because that's trying to function in God's love outside of the revealed will of God. The right way to do this is you get up tomorrow morning and say, Father, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that that love is for me. I receive that love this day in Jesus' name. And then I'm ready to show it to other people. That's the order. You can't violate the order. I tried. You will kill yourself if you violate this order. I tried to do it. It doesn't work, okay? And, you know, some of that, you remember the elder son, you know, and maybe we'll cover this some more next week. We'll just see what the Lord does. But the elder son's problem was he was ticked off because God was killing the fatted calf for the whoremongering son. That was his gripe with his father, wasn't it? He said the father saw the elder son was troubled, and he said, what's the matter? And he said, though these many years do I serve thee, neither at any time transgressed I one of thy commandments, and you never gave me a kid to make merry with my friends. But when this thy son has come home, who has devoured your living with harlots, you killed for him the fatted calf. The elder son is a picture of believers who have ministered in their life without knowing God's love for them. And the cure for the elder son is when the father came back, he didn't rebuke the elder son. This is what I love so much. He didn't rebuke the elder son. He didn't cast him down. He didn't get mad at him. He just walked up and put his hands around him and said, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is yours. The only problem was the elder son didn't know God's love for him. He said, it's not about the service. It's about me loving you and making your service come out of me loving you was the problem. That was his problem. And of course, if you're serving and you're serving outside of his love for you, then somebody over here who's all messed up and comes in and smells, you know, and doesn't look very pretty, and you're supposed to go help him, and you go over there, well, I don't know, I got to help him. He just looks stupid. He hadn't taken a bath. I don't like his tats. I don't like anything that's going on, you know. Why do you say that? Why do you say that? Okay? Because you don't know his love for you, right? If you know his love for you, and he shows mercy and goes kills the fatted calf for the son who wasted his living with harlots, you just go, praise the Lord! You know, glory to God. He saved him. Why are you so happy? Because I know my dad. He got the fatted calf. I get everything. Woohoo. That's what the father said. He got the fatted calf. I get all that he has for me. See, and I thought, well, now that makes sense. You know, and the problem was not that the elder son was serving. The problem that the elder son was serving outside of this love cycle. He was serving without the love to him. The way to fix it is not necessarily to stop everything you're doing. The way to fix it is to go back to the beginning and say, Lord, this is not about me doing. This is about you loving me. And right now I receive your love for me. And I'm going to start walking in your love for me. And realize that that command to love each other, a new commandment I give unto you, I love one another as I have loved you. That is the commandment. It's not love each other. It's love each other as I have loved you is the commandment. Isn't it? Praise the Lord. Is that good news? All right, let's stop there with the word portion of this.